You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. eSurance, insurance for the modern world. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB At The Plate. MLB At The Plate airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on TuneIn.
Welcome into the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by eSurance. I'm Holden Kushner, and today I'm joined by Jeff Nelson. Today we're going to begin the podcast with the MLB At The Plate Triple Play, which is where Nelly and I discuss three topics that interest us. Today's Triple Play consists of a discussion of team captains around the league, our dream home run derby competitors, and if the Orioles are in a position to consider trading superstar Manny Machado.
The MLB At The Plate Triple Play, presented by eSurance.
Looking at the Red Sox, and this is on a completely different note right now. Jason Varitek, most recent captain of the Red Sox. You got the Yankees, Derek Jeter finally. You know the only team with a team captain right now? The New York Mets. And he's not even playing. David Wright's not
even
playing.
Yeah, David Wright.
That's the only team captain that they have right now. And I'm watching Anthony Rizzo, because I had a conversation about this with my buddies, high school buddies today. We had a little text around, and somebody asked, hey, what do you think about Rizzo being a team captain? And I said, well, team captain. I never thought about that. That's an odd question. So I looked it up. David Wright's the only one out there. We heard Anthony Rizzo go deep again. Here's a guy that last year basically took on a whole team by himself. He had a couple of big moments in a World Series as well. He's been there for 6 years. The last team captain for the Cubs, and this shocked me. I couldn't believe who it was. It was Sammy Sosa. So that didn't end up that well for him. Yeah, that did not.
That's a shock.
I know. 2004, Sammy Sosa, and then
It's only a shock just because I don't see him as a captain. But, you know, he was a very exciting player, but I just don't see him the so-called captain, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, what's interesting about that is that, me neither. He did wear the sleeve, the C on his sleeve.
Yeah.
I mean, that happened, and trust me, and now he's erased. Like, there is no Sammy Sosa there. They don't invite him back for anything. So that's fascinating to me. But you have Anthony Rizzo here, who, there's Bryant, who's just burst onto the scene, and Schwarber's got some appeal and stuff. But 7 years in the majors, 6 years with the Cubs. He's hit 148 home runs with them. He's obviously, I personally think he's the glue of that team. He is the leader of that team. Mm-hmm. Jason Hayward had that big. Why not, if you're the Cubs, give Anthony Rizzo the C? That's the first part. And then I want to get into why we don't have many captains in baseball. We only have one captain in baseball. But, you know, is that something that you would look into if you're the Cubs? Does that make any sense, giving Anthony Rizzo a captain on his shoulder?
You know, I think so. I think so. A lot goes into it as far as a captain. A pitcher, there's no way would be able to be a captain because they only pitch one every 5 days. Or if you're a reliever, you just can't do it. You got to be a regular. You also have to be able to talk to the media. You have to be a team leader, which I don't know if Rizzo talks to the media or how that part of his game is. But as far as on the field, and you looked at him last year around David Ross, the backup catcher for the Cubs, and I think he learned quite a bit from him. I can see Rizzo as a captain, but I think a lot goes into it as far as, does Joe Maddon see him as a captain? Does Joe Maddon believe in captains or naming a person captain? Theo Epstein, does he believe? Well, he had Varitek when he was over in Boston, so of course he believes in captains. I think Anthony Rizzo would be a good one and would be an interesting one as far as naming that. After they won the World Series, I think this year, if it's sometime this year, even at the end of the season, his contract, it goes to 2020, where the team has an option on 2020 and also 2021, where he'll only be 31 years of age. So that's relatively young for a player that is going to have quite a few years in the big leagues and all with the Cubs, and who knows how many more rings that they may have a chance of winning. I think when you talk about captains, you look at players and can you project them being with one team for a long time? Does the front office see that player as a potential guy that they're going to have around a long time. Here's one that now won't be, but McCutchen for the Pittsburgh Pirates, to me, before the offseason, he's a perfect example of being a captain for the Pittsburgh Pirates. This guy is probably what – I mean, this is before this year started, before the offseason. You know, probably a Pittsburgh Pirate for life, a great leader on the team, great personality, has fun, you know, playing the game, a great example to any young child or young baseball player that looks to be a major leaguer, a perfect guy to look up to. And – you know, that to me would be a lifer. But now with everything coming out, you're not going to have him captain because he probably is not going to be here at the end of July. So you look at guys. Okay, here's another one. Maybe Adam Jones for the Baltimore Orioles. He would be a guy that I would think, okay, this would be a perfect example as a captain. He talks to the media. Great to look up to. Fun to watch on the field. Very productive at the plate and also in center field.
Well, here's the other thing. You played with one of the great captains of his era, Derek Jeter. And even though he's a young guy, and you've told me about, you know, as young as he was, you could still go to him
right.
At his age. But what's your responsibility when you're the captain? I personally don't think that you take lightly when you do that. There's not many baseball teams that do it. I mean, there's one guy that is a captain right now, and he's not even playing. It's David Wright. So... you know, could anyone just go to Jeter? What are the responsibilities?
Yeah, I think one, you know, you have to look at the history of teams, of the team. Do they or have they in the past named players captains? Are they a team that comes out and say, yeah, traditionally, you know, you look at, I don't know who was the captain before Don Mattingly, sorry, but you look at Don Mattingly, okay, he left. Okay, let's get another player established. Derek Jeter was that guy that was an established player. It took a while, and he became a captain. Now, the responsibilities, I think the biggest one is you lead by example. You lead, how does this guy carry himself on and off the field? And more importantly, on the field, and if you watch Derek Jeter, you watch Don Mattingly, two perfect examples of captains, even Jason Veritek, I could throw him right in there as well, as far as what they do and what they mean to their team and how they lead their team on the field. Don Mattingly played hard every single out, every single at-bat. It was a tough at-bat. You never seen him dog it down the line. Derek Jeter, same way, every single out. One of the smartest baseball players in the game that I've ever seen or played with or against. Every single time played 100%. Never dogged it, never jogged down the line. You know, he made some errors. Obviously, that's going to happen, but knew where to throw the ball, knew where to be. Jason Veritek, the same way. You know, he's a guy that knew exactly what he was doing, helped the pitchers, almost a second manager on the field. I would say Molina for the Cardinals is the same way. You know, here's a guy that is a leader on and off the field. Also, you got to have guys that make sure they're not going to, you know, go through the headlines for any kind of mistake they made away from the stadium. You want to make sure that happens as well. But as far as responsibility, I think leading by example is number one. You have to be accessible to the media. You have to know what to say. You have to be smart with the media. You can't throw guys under the bus. You can't say the wrong things. In New York, they're always looking for ways to catch you, you know, for what you have to say. And also, you have to be projected to be a long-time player with that team. You look at Don Mattingly. If it wasn't for him being injured and hurting his back, who knows how long he would have played for the Yankees and probably would have continued his success and been a Hall of Famer, an instant first ballot Hall of Famer. Jason Veritek, you knew he was going to be a Red Sox for a long time. Derek Jeter, you knew that he was going to be a Yankee for a long time and a lifer. He was going to end his career with one team. There's not very many guys that you can say that about anymore. I don't know how many captains are around the league. I never really looked. You know, you look at Cabrera with the Tigers, is he a captain? Do they name captains? I mean, he would be another one that I would think would be a perfect example. So the biggest thing is, to me, is you lead by example, and these guys have to play 100%. And every aspect of their game is going to be looked upon once that C goes on your sleeve. And are they good, a good representative of that C?
Which home run do you think went farther, Schwarber or Morales?
I'm going to say Morales. That was back in the back of that second deck, probably maybe within one or two seats from hitting that back wall back there.
It is possible that you're right, but StatCast says Schwarber 467, Morales 465. Right. It really is amazing.
How you come within 2 feet.
Yeah, good job. Well, really what's amazing is that the baseball seemed to be going so far here as StatCast has emerged.
Right.
You know, I think there's a possible tie between StatCast and baseball. Listen, I don't put it past the commissioner's office. First of all, you know I'm a big fan of this guy. I like that he thinks out of the box. Second of all, I mean, he knows. I don't know why he wouldn't admit it. Maybe I don't get it. I think it would be great if they actually did do it and they're admitting, hey, we did this a little bit. Maybe the pitchers would complain about this because, you know, it's a mile and a half faster coming off the bat. Maybe they don't want to die. But, you know, besides for that, I think it's great. Ball's going farther. Now we track it. We're talking about every one of these home runs, how fast it leaves the bat and how far it goes. It's a perfect synergy.
It is. Well, you know, he's come out and said that he wants to see more offense. You know, how he's doing it, maybe nobody knows. And they're doing studies on the baseball, and obviously the baseball's flying harder. And with all the sabermetrics, and you just mentioned the StatCast, where you have the trajectory and the exit velocity and the distance, it just makes it more interesting for the fan, you know, whether they're interested in that or not. You know, it's there for them if they like it. I think when you see it on TV, people love it. Now, I don't know, and I've never really paid attention going to the Yankee games. It's the only park I've gone to, well, besides Miami. I've never really looked on the scoreboard to see if they actually give that information to the fans sitting in the seats. If they haven't, they ought to, because it's out there, and it's easy for somebody to put it up on the board. Hey, that home run was hit at 110 miles an hour, and your stupid trajectory, launch angle, and all that stuff. But
I like, you know, how I now am in possession of it. I like that.
That's your between that and Avila for the Tigers, man. You just can't get enough of those.
I can't get
things.
Enough of them. Yeah, I can't get enough
but
of them.
If I don't know if they put it up at the home on the home scoreboard or not. I think they should.
Yeah.
You know, they already have the pitch speed. You might as well show how fast it's getting out.
Well, I don't know how fast Zanino's home run got out, but Seattle is now at 5-0 over the Twins. He just hit a 3-run home run, and that game is still relatively early, too, in the third inning. So there's an outside shot because, what is that, 5 runs? They're on pace for only 15 runs tonight. So we'll see.
A little payback. A little surprise it's happening against Santana, though.
I think everybody should be surprised because he has been terrific. But in the 3 starts where he has stunk up the joint, he's really stunk up the joint. I mean, it's been bad.
Well, 438 feet. Bad, you might as well not lose 3-0. You might as well just give it up.
Just take it and move on. Although that's not good for your RA, but he was sitting there coming in at 2.20.
Yeah.
438. And as Nelly's favorite stat, 108 mile an hour exit velocity. I'm just going to throw it right back on you. Nelly cannot get enough.
I like the exit velocity. I don't care about the launch angle.
Oh,
I
don't
either.
Exit
velocity.
Yeah, I mean, launch angle is just kind of interesting from the standpoint. If it's between 25 and 35 home runs, that's normal. You know, that's your sweet spot.
Yeah.
But if somebody hits a home run at 14 degrees, it's like, how did that get out of the park?
Right.
Because that's a legit line drive. Or if you hit it at 45 degrees, that's a pop-up. There's no way it goes out most of the time. So,
well,
anyways,
when you look at Stanton, Giancarlo Stanton for the Marlins and Judge, mm-hmm. Now I've seen Stanton, you know, barely get over the shortstop's head, and all of a sudden it goes out. So I would like to see what the launch angle with that some of those hits are. But between Judge and Giancarlo, the 45 degrees are probably nothing to those guys as far as a home run getting hit.
I know. Stanton's just kind of been passed up here by Aaron Judge. And
you know
what's
interesting? I was listening to a radio, you know, a New York radio station. They were talking about the home run derby and how well Judge is doing and how all the fans just have to see this guy in it. And, you know, you look at the NBA, the slam dunk contest, nobody wants to do it. I don't know why, but, you know, it isn't like it changes their shot. But everybody, as far as the home run derby, thinks, oh, you know what? I don't want to do the home run derby because I'm going well. I think it's going to wind up changing my swing. I don't get it. I'm obviously not a hitter, so I can't relate to some of if there is any kind of change. I see these guys do it in BP all the time. Their last round of batting practice, all they're doing is trying to hit it out of the stadium. I don't know what that changes in their swing, but you know, to not have this guy in the home run derby, you know, that would be a big disappointment. I know the Yankees probably would have something to say, and obviously he said, you know what, I'm having a great year. The Yankees are winning. I don't want to change the swing. I'd rather not do it. But, you know, I would love to see this guy, and I hope he is in it.
There is no doubt about it. I want to see Judge versus Stanton on one side.
Yes.
And Ichiro versus Altuve on the other side.
Yeah, that would be good.
I mean, because Ichiro, he doesn't have the power he did because he used to crush balls in BP. Yes. That was a lot of fun to watch. And obviously you know that, right? But you know that very well. But to have two little guys and then to have the two premier guys go at it, that's just two of the guys that – I have not been excited about the Home Run Derby in a long time, to be honest with you. And if you get Stanton and Judge in there, I'm in 100%. I will talk that thing up more than anything ever. And if the commissioner really wants to get some eyes, he might want to make a trip out to New York to talk to Judge personally and to Stanton to talk to him personally. Could you imagine Judge and Stanton in a Home Run Derby? Oh, please do it. Please do it.
Yeah, you know, and I love the new format. You know, I love the way they've come up with the Home Run Derby. It's not as boring. It goes by a lot faster. It's more competitive. Guys aren't getting, tired as quickly as they used to be. But I would love to see that. And you just mentioned, I'm really surprised at Ichiro as far as no one has ever asked this guy. And everybody's known it throughout the league. As far as joining or being in a home run hitting contest, not now, not over the last couple of years, but in the beginning of his career, say, you know, nobody really knew him in 2001, 02, and 03, but maybe in the late 2000s, 2006, 7, 8, around that era, I think the fans will just be in awe to watch this guy and how small he is and how far he hits the ball and how many times in a row he hits a home run. I always thought that he would win any home running hitting contest because he does. At will, his last round of batting practice, he'll hit 10 or 15 in a row. And they're not wall scrapers. This guy is, you know, what, 115 pounds soaking wet, and he's hitting bombs in ballparks, bombs in Seattle. They have that restaurant that's up there above about, I don't know, maybe 50 rows back in the right field stands, and it's that glass, right? He pounds that restaurant. I mean, it's just amazing watching that guy. Wade Boggs was another one, very similar, never in a home run hitting contest, just goes out will in batting practice. So I agree with you with the Judge and the Stanton. That would be an amazing final, or even them matched up against each other. To see how that would go.
They got to do something for Ichiro if it's in Miami. He's got to be part of something. I haven't heard anything yet. Hopefully that'll change.
The thing of it is that it's not his last year. This guy wants to play till he's 50.
Yeah, but the All-Star game's in his town. They got to put him on a showcase. I mean, he's at the end of the line here. Let's give him as much as we can.
If he was going to retire, like, you know, you had Ripken and you had Tony Gwynn back in the day and, you know, some of the guys who are instant Hall of Famers, maybe give him a little token All-Star, but he still wants to play. I mean, this guy is definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer, and it is in his hometown, but I don't know. I just don't see it only because he's not done yet, and I, you know, maybe when he's finally through with baseball, they might give him the little token All-Star.
He might be done, though. He might be done after this year. You know, there's been a steep decline. In limited play last year, he was terrific. Now even in limited play this year, and you're not seeing it very much. But let me just say this. It is Miami. Ichiro's there. I'd like to see him do something for him. The rest of my home run derby goes like this, though. Aaron Judge, who's hit a 495-foot home run this year. You got to have Stanton. He went 368. Yeah. You got to have Miguel Sano, who leads baseball in exit velocity. Nice. I'd love to see that, too. So those three guys are starting. And you know what else I'd like to see, even though tonight he hit, what, 467? He had a 470. I want to see Schwarber. Yeah. Schwarber, Sano, and Judge and Giancarlo. And maybe, you know, sprinkle a little Joey Gallo and Bryce Harper in for some fun. That'd be awesome.
With Gallo and Schwarber, how's it going to mess up their swing? They're not going well right now anyway, and it may correct it. You know, Schwarber's really struggling at the plate. Throw him. He's got a nice softball swing. He's got a really big uppercut. Throw him in there, see how well he does. I agree. You know, maybe it changes them around. Maybe it helps Schwarber And he comes back in the second half, and all of a sudden you see that average start climbing up.
Oh, that would be so awesome. Now, some of these guys, I mean, Bryce Harper's just not going to do it. He doesn't want to do it. But I would think Schwarber might be interested. Judge is still young enough. Maybe he's impressionable enough where they kind of nudge him and say, why don't you do this? Stanton's always in it, isn't he? I remember him last year, if I'm correct.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
I mean, he didn't make the All-Star team, but he got picked for the Home Run Derby. He's the defending champion. Mm-hmm. You know, this time he may actually make the team, which will be great to be on the team and actually be in the home run hitting contest. He's got to defend his championship in his hometown.
That's how much I remember it, by the way. I was there, and I didn't even remember he played in the home run derby.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I need Aaron Judge and Giancarlo this year.
I agree. I would love to see it. And that's the one thing, if you think about Ichiro and you look at the fan base, yeah, the fans love him, but, you know, you don't get a whole lot of fans in Miami. So if it was a place like Seattle or, you look at even with Tony Gwynn and Cal Ripken Jr. going out and the way they did and playing their final All-Star game out in Seattle in 01, I don't know. You know, it was so far away. I don't think you had a whole lot of Oriole fans, or maybe you had more Padre fans come up and watch Tony Gwynn. But I don't know. I like the idea that they give them a little token. Hey, thanks for the memories, but Ichiro's not done, so I don't know.
Nelly, I don't care what happens to the Orioles tonight, okay? I'm just looking at the big picture here. And I was high on them coming into the season. You know, they were the team that was really standing out with the best record in the American League since 2012. So, I mean, they're absolutely rolling. And now that you've seen what's going on with them, it's ugly. Now, they've lost six in a row coming into tonight. You've got Chris Davis, who is going to be gone for an extended period of time. This is really dangerous because they're playing bad baseball, and now Chris Davis is out of the lineup. And we've seen what has happened to the pitching, and I'm surprised. I mean, Tillman has struggled. Gausman has struggled. Bundy struggled tonight, okay, but that rotation is in a bigger mess than I thought it would be. You've lost Britton, so the bullpen is a disaster. I think when they were all together, they had a shot to really do something special this year. Is it possible they're going to be able to do that next year? I don't know, but I'll tell you this much. Without Britton and now Davis, I have a hard time believing that this team is going to be in the mix. And you have to start at least exploring the possibility. What do we do with Manny Machado? Can we put this team back together next year and have one more run at it? Or can we go get a monster package and start the rebuild right now? I think it's going to be a fascinating decision for Buck Showalter and Dan Duquette because, again, you look at this team, I thought that they had a chance to contend. Maybe they still can somehow, some way. They were playing the best baseball in baseball for the first month, the 6 weeks of the season. That's obviously changed. But can you go back with a healthy Davis and Britton? Hope that you could turn around, Gausman and have Bundy back. Hope that happens and make a run. Or do you try and rebuild and get yourself, three starters for the future? Maybe a couple of arms. Maybe you get a couple of young pitchers for a Manny Machado and say, all right, we're going to take a step back, do what's best. We're not going to win a World Series with this team. Let's start rebuilding. And I think as their record continues to slide, if it continues to slide, if you're well under 500, six, seven games under 500 come July, then I think you got to start picking up the phone, at least considering trading Manny Machado.
I think you make a good point because if you look, Machado, his last year is 2018, and after that he's a free agent. Do they want to get into a scenario where they hang on to him this year knowing, okay, we have one more year control? All of a sudden, they're in the race next year. Maybe in the wintertime, they retool their starting rotation, their pitching staff. All of a sudden, they become a little bit better. They've always been a good offensive team, especially in Camden Yards. Next thing you know, they're in it. And they can't trade him. They said, there's no way we can trade our best player and try to make the playoffs. So we're going to keep them because we're getting fans back in the stands. And, the Orioles have had a hard time filling the seats anyway. And now they're starting to turn the corner just a little bit in the past few years. then all of a sudden, what happens if you miss 2018? You go all the way to the end, you miss the playoffs, and now you're going to lose your best player and you have nothing to show for it. It may be a better scenario that they try to move him this year, knowing that, okay, you're a game and a half out of the wild card. Your pitching staff, 1 through 13 or 12, however many you have, are not good. You don't have a great starting rotation. There's too many holes in that rotation to try to mend. Unless Tillman and Gausman all of a sudden find it somewhere and they're able to turn things around and lead this pitching staff along with Bundy, because Bundy's not going to be able to ride this thing out by himself. He's pitched outstanding for this team, the most consistent guy tonight. Didn't look that great, 4 runs in the 4 innings. But, you know, unless something, it may take a miracle for the Orioles to turn this thing around. If they don't, they're a last place team. They're missing out on the wild card. You just mentioned that they may get some quality starting arms, maybe a couple that are big league ready, if not this year, then next year. Why not? Why not take a chance and trade Machado? I doubt you're going to be able to sign this guy. You know, this guy's going to have, you know, $200-some million contract. You're not going to be able to bring him back. It's just not going to happen.
Well, think about this, too. Not only would it be Machado, if you're throwing it in, then they got some pretty good arms in their bullpen. You think there's some teams that wouldn't be salivating over Brock and O'Day and Givens and guys like that? I mean, you could turn around and get a massive haul for the pieces that they have, because they have a lot of talent on the team.
Because bullpen arms are a dime a dozen, and teams are probably less willing to give up quality for middle relievers. You know, even though middle relievers are a key part of a team now, they're a dime a dozen, and teams could try to persuade, you know, some crafty veterans, hey, you know, maybe he's got one more year on his contract, or, you know, is up this year, and I'll take him for a bag of balls. But, right, the Givens and the Brock, you know, I don't know. If I'm the Orioles, I probably don't want to give them away, only because they're so important to me. And O'Day's got a deal that I don't know if anybody's going to wind up paying
Nelly,
that money.
I think
him.
Brock could be an eighth inning guy on a championship team. We saw him do that for Britain.
Givens,
so, I mean, that's more than a middle reliever.
Yeah, Givens as well. I just don't know if the Orioles want to go that direction. You know, it's already hard enough to find a pitching staff. To get rid of two of your best relievers, I'm not sure. Machado, that's a good point. I think he has a chance to be moved. I think this year might be the year that the Orioles pull the trigger. Because I don't think I want to get in the scenario that the Orioles all of a sudden are in the hunt next year and they have to make a decision that, you know what, we have to keep this guy knowing that we're going to lose him at the end of the year. Instead of 2017, I might be able to get 3 or 4 guys for him.
You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by eSurance. And we'll be right back with more after this.
Catch tomorrow's baseball starts today with Minor League Baseball on TuneIn. Throughout the season, listen live to the home calls of more than 160 minor league teams. From Class A to AAA games all across the country. With Minor League Baseball on TuneIn, hear top prospects take the field before they get called up. Listen in as players work their way back to Major League Baseball during rehabilitation starts. And catch your favorite minor league players and your favorite teams in action, including Tim Tebow. Listen to Minor League Baseball all season long on TuneIn.
This is the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Jeff Nelson.
There were 15 games on Wednesday, and for a high-speed recap of them all, we got the best day ever, home run tracker, and statistically speaking.
Best day ever on MLB At The Plate.
All right, where do you want to go? Let's start with the offense, best day ever. Who you got there, Nelly?
Well, I'm going to have to go with, and it really hurts me to do this, to go to a Red Sox player, but I'm going to take Mookie Betts. I'm just going to take the no-brainer. 4 for 5, 4 runs scored, 3 RBIs, 2 home runs. I think this is the only player that's hit 2 home runs today. You know, we have, 6 yesterday, and Mookie Betts hits number 10 and 11 with a Red Sox victory.
I'm going to go, when you hit your first Major League home run in your first Major League game, you're literally having the best day ever. And that's Derek Fisher with the Houston Astros. Hits his first home run. He gets called up today because Josh Reddick ran into the wall and had concussion symptoms. So He was out, and Fisher, they just plugged in the eighth spot. This is a 23-year-old kid hitting over 330 with, you know, 15, 16, 17 home runs down to the minors. And boom, he came up in his first game. He hit a home run. He singled. He's been impressive tonight. And he's also walked a couple of times. Derek Fisher, best day ever. How about on the mound? Who's your best on the mound?
My best on the mound, I'm going to take, you know, usually you take a winner. I'm going to take a loser this time, only because it's nice to see him put things together. And this is the third start in a row in June that Jordan Zimmermann has put things together. Eight innings, given up to two runs. He did get the loss against the Diamondbacks. It was a 2-1 game, close game, threw 108 pitches, didn't walk a soul, struck out six. I just like his direction that he's going in. I think it's great news for the Tigers.
I dig that. I think that's great. He had one of the best pitching performances of the night. He really did, because there's so many runs being scored in the game right now. I'm going to go back to the Astros and another rookie, Francis Martes. Five innings, three hits, a run, and seven Ks against the Texas Rangers, who were winning five straight. He's going to pick up the win. And I like what the kid brought. And as you pointed out earlier in the show, man, he has a lot of life. He has a lot of fire, a lot of energy out there. I like to see that on the mound. And I'm going Fisher and Martes as my best day ever.
Nice.
And you got to be good if you're on
two
that
young
team.
Guys.
Right? On the Astros. I mean, you got to be doing something good to get a chance to get on that team. And they've stepped up tonight. Let's talk about all them home runs.
MLB at the plate, home run tracker.
We had a few in the afternoon session. Ryan Healy hit one 424. Marcelo Zuna, man, he keeps clubbing the baseball, 414. Tyler Moore of the Marlins, 367. Jose Peraza, 389. And Mike Moustakas of the Royals blasted one 415. Jorge Bonifacio, his teammate with Kansas City, how about a 430-foot shot for the Royals rookie? His ninth home run of the year, 104 off the bat. Lorenzo Cain, 383. Joey Votto, 409 feet. Brian Goodwin steps up again for the Nats, an even 400. And Kurt Suzuki of the Braves, 407. Hunter Renfroe crushed one for the Padres, 433 feet, 112-mile-an-hour exit velo. Anthony Rizzo leads off a game with a home run, second straight night. Last night it was on the second pitch. Tonight, first pitch, 414, 103. Next batter was Ian Happ. And he touched up Matt Harvey, hit it 411 feet. Ian Desmond of the Rockies, 361. Kyle Schwarber hit the longest and hardest home run of the night. It was a two-run blast. It went over the Shea Bridge at Citi Field, 467 feet, 114-mile-an-hour exit velo, cracks the top 10 in home run distance this season. Mitch Haniger and Aaron Altair going deep. Eric Thames, 411 feet. Both of Mookie Betts' home runs, I'll give you them. How about 413 for his first shot, 377 for his second. Kendry Morales, most nights you hit one 465. You're the champ. He wasn't tonight. Second longest at a 465-foot clip, and then 109 off the bat for the Blue Jays slugger. Mike Zunino, 438. That guy continues to kill the ball for the Mariners. Logan Morrison hits a home run. Eduardo Escobar hits a home run. Curtis Granderson hit his 300th career home run, and probably the most important home run of the night. Breaks the tie in the bottom of the eighth inning against the Cubs. 364 and 100-mile-an-hour exit velo for the Grandy Man. Byron Buxton hit one 433 for the Twins. Lucas Duda, Russell Martin, monster shot for Martin, too. He gave Toronto the lead late in that game. Went 398 feet. Miguel Sano, 399 feet and 102-mile-an-hour exit velocity. That's a little weak there for Sano. I mean, I'm not used to that. I mean, all home runs, you know, they count the same and everything, but come on, I'm expecting 450 and 110 on a bad day. Jose Ramirez, big game for the Indians in a loss, 380 feet. Matt Davidson has homered again, 415. Derek Fisher, first home run in the bigs, 346. Jake Marisnyk, Gary Sanchez, 441, 108 exit velo for the Yankees. Kike Hernandez, Danny Espinosa, Wellington Castillo all going deep. How about Joey Gallo's blast of 466 and 112 miles an hour? So you have Kendrys Morales at 465, Gallo at 466, Schwarber at 467. Let's look a little deeper into the numbers.
Statistically speaking.
All right, here we go. You got Anthony Rizzo, Nelly. First Cubs player with a leadoff home run in consecutive games since Tyler Colvin in 2010. Almost seems a little less important now.
Yes.
Rizzo.
Don't remember him.
I remember him very, very faintly. Anthony Rizzo, first player with a leadoff home run in each of his first two career starts at leadoff since Didi Gregorius did it for the Diamondbacks in 2014.
Wow.
That's interesting.
How about that?
We got Mookie Betts, first Red Sox player to 10 home runs this season. Boston was the last team without a player to hit 10 home runs.
Big Poppy, watch out. Comes after the All-Star break.
Yeah, that would be interesting. That would definitely be interesting. Good
They're
for
writing
the sport.
About it, I know that.
It'd be good for our show, I'll tell you that much. Corey Kluber, seventh pitcher in Major League history to reach 1,000 strikeouts by his 150th game. Kerry Wood, Tim Lincecum, Roger Clemens, Steven Strasburg, Dwight Gooden, Hideo Nomo did it faster. But, man, again, that's a pretty cool list right there. Wood, Lincecum, Clemens, Strasburg, Gooden, Nomo. Whatever happened, like, Christy Mathewson? Yeah, Christy Mathewson never did it. Walter Johnson, Bob Gibson, none of those guys ever did it.
Right. Sandy Koufax, none of them.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty interesting. Kendrys Morales, third game this season with at least four RBIs. No other player has more.
Really?
Curtis Granderson, 300th career home run. Ninth career go-ahead home run in the eighth inning or later. His first this season. That's pretty good. First time a team has started off a game with back-to-back homers and lost. That's what happened to the Cubs tonight. Since the Orioles did it back in 2014, Markakis and DeAza, Alejandro DeAza, going back-to-back in that one. Last time Andrew Miller gave up home runs in back-to-back games was 2011. September 2011, his ERA was over 5, and he was a starter. Remember those days? That was a long time ago.
I did. I do remember that.
That was a long time ago. Almost as long as when he and Daniel Bard were leading the UNC Tar Heels, and then Bard kind of flamed out with the Red Sox, and Miller didn't turn into a good starter with the Tigers, and then look today. He's still one of the best pitchers in the game out of the bullpen. Most homers, first 92 games. Well, I mean, Judge is going to – does Judge have a chance to reach this? First 92 games, Mark McGwire, most homers, 33 in his first 92. The Sanchino has 31 now. Rudy York with 31. Jose Abreu with 31. Ryan Braun with 31. Derek Fisher, first player with two hits in a single inning in his major league debut since Adam LaRoche back in 2004. Who, again, I know you got to put – you got to use a computer to find this. This is ridiculous. Two hits in a single inning in his major league debut. Like, who keeps track of that?
StatCast.
No, Wellington Castillo, first career Grand Slam. Four of his five home runs this season have either tied the game or given the Orioles the lead. And NL West, how many teams in the NL West have 40 wins, Nelly? Take a guess.
Three.
Yep. How many teams in the rest of baseball have 40 wins?
I want to say they're the only team in the National League. Maybe two more.
Only one more, believe it or not. Only one more. With 40 wins?
What are the Yankees? I know the Astros do.
The Astros. There you go. The Astros. Yep.
Yankees
with 38, and the Nationals have really cooled off here. I mean, the Nationals have 39. I mean, they had the best record in the league for a little bit, but yeah, how about that? Dodgers, Rockies, Diamondbacks, 41, 42, 41 in that order. Arizona's a half game behind the other two teams. And then you've got Houston sitting at 44 and 22. Interesting National League standings, to tell you the truth. It's very bizarre what's going on there. That's it for the MLB at the Plate podcast presented by Esurance. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn at 7 Eastern each weeknight. For MLB at the Plate. During the daily 5-hour show, you'll not only hear all of what you heard in the podcast, but you also have a chance to listen live to the games and get the action as it happens. For Abe and Dustin in the LA studio, and Jeff Nelson alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by Esurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Esurance, insurance for the modern world. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk.
on TuneIn. Get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. TuneIn, your everything audio app.